Don't forget, tomorrow night, our hockey night doubleheader on ESPN. Ovechkin and the Capitals take on Patrick Kane and the Red Wings. Then you'll see Nathan MacKinnon and the Avs hosting the Wild. The action comes your way tomorrow night here on ESPN, where we get up with you every single morning. We are presented by ESPN Bet and delighted you were there. There couldn't be more going on. We had the Women's Championship yesterday. We got the Men's Championship tonight. We got the final week of the NBA season. We got all the NFL draft stuff coming your way. The Masters is this week. We couldn't possibly have more going on. And then, in the middle of all of that, breaking news drops in our lap while you were sleeping. Kentucky coach John Calipari out. He's finalizing a five-year deal to become the head coach at Arkansas. He leaves Kentucky with four Final Fours and one national championship in 15 seasons. He won 410 games in his 15 years there against 123 losses. It's the fourth most wins and the fourth best record of any D1 team in the country in the last 15 years. He also won six SEC regular season titles, six SEC tournament titles, and the 2012 national championship. But there hasn't been a lot of tournament success in recent years, and now he's out. And so Jay Will gets up with us early this morning. Jay Williams from Phoenix. We got UConn and Purdue tonight, and we will get to that. But let's start with this. What is your reaction to Calipari out at Kentucky for Arkansas?
I agree. Last night, I was literally shocked. I was floored. I just watched him and Mitch Barnhart, the AD, talk about how they were going to move forward. Now, I knew that there was a $33 million buyout, and the chances of Kentucky buying him out were slim. But I thought this was going to be, you know, that season on the brinks with Bob Knight. I thought that's what this season was going to be for Cal with Kentucky. But at the end of the day, if Kentucky fans didn't feel that John Calipari lived up to the hype, you talk about four Final Fours, one national championship, countless NBA players, and the legacy that John Calipari has had at Kentucky, this is a win-win for both programs. They don't have to give him the $33 million buyout. He can go to Arkansas. He has a new deal there, which I'm sure is going to be a groundbreaking deal. He actually resets the table, starts over, is going to bring all those Kentucky recruits with him. And then, by the way, for Kentucky, now it gives you a chance to start over. If you want to be older, if you want to go up for a guy like Scott Drew over at Baylor, if you want to try to pull Jay Wright out of retirement, or a guy like Billy Donovan with the Chicago Bulls, or if you want to go with a guy like Nate Oates, who is one of the hottest coaches in the country right now, literally at Alabama, who just took his team to the Final Four. A lot of options on the table for Kentucky.
Well, that's so well said, because, look, Calipari's legacy from his time at Kentucky is going to be that he basically put half the NBA into the league, right? But for the Kentucky fans, I understand they're thinking, well, wait a minute, we're not about trying to have half the NBA. We're about trying to win here. And he didn't do that as consistently as they believe he could. Nate Oates, his name came up with Paul Feinbaum a little bit earlier here, Jay. Do you think he would leave Alabama for this job?
Look, I think Kentucky is one of those jobs that it is the top of the top. It truly is. And it's not saying that Alabama can't get there basketball-wise. And Alabama's fans have showed up. Like, I've been through it this year watching Nate Oates. One of the things that you have to think about when you go to Kentucky is that the bar is the bar every single year, and that's to win a national championship. And it puts a lot of pressure. I think there's no doubt the style of basketball in which Nate Oates plays and his teams actually execute will be one of the most fascinating styles. It's an NBA style, Greeny. It's threes and twos. That can definitely fit with Kentucky style. But you have to recognize the pressure that comes, that it's not like, hey, get to 18, 19 wins. It's win a championship or bust every year. And if you don't, they're going to want somebody who could.
Yeah, look, I mean, as evidenced by what just happened with Calipari. All right, Jay, stay with me here. We'll have more on that as we go. But meanwhile, every intention we had this morning was to start with this. It was the day for the confetti and the crowns yesterday. Caitlin Clark and Camila Cardozo, the stars were out Iowa, South Carolina for the championship. Tim Legler, the stars were in the audience as well. Jalen Hurts was there watching. And it couldn't have started better for Caitlin Clark and Iowa.
Exactly what they needed. Don't get hit with a big punch early against an undefeated team. And Iowa came out, looked very comfortable and relaxed. Caitlin Clark right here, trademark, step side, 3 in transition.
Iowa up as many as 11 in that first quarter with 18 first quarter points. Caitlin Clark set the new record for total career points in the NCAA tournament. Iowa had a 7-point lead. But then South Carolina turning the tide in the second quarter. And in the third, it was Tessa Johnson knocking down shots.
Yeah, look at that clock. Last 4 minutes of the third. You got a 4-point game when South Carolina starts making perimeter shots. And this is the one thing you couldn't deal with if you were Iowa. You had to deal with the size. You had to deal with the athletic ability, the defense. You can't deal with them making 3-point shots, and they did it to get separation.
South Carolina got 37 points off their bench in this game. Caitlin Clark and company did everything they could to try and stay in it, but the end, South Carolina was just too deep, and they were too big, and they were too good. That's Bree Hall there, and then it's Cardozo, who was spectacular. Look at her working under the glass.
Yeah, just tossing people to the side. Two different Iowa opponents trying to box her out. She cleans up the mess right there to put them up 8.
Cardozo, the fifth player with 15 points and 15 rebounds in a championship game, and that was all she wrote. Caitlin Clark, an historic career, comes to an end without the championship. Dawn Staley and company, champs of the world.
So I'm just super proud of where I work. I'm super proud of our fans. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's unbelievable.
To be honest, this year was probably more special than last year. You know, the teams we had to go through to get to this point, you know, we won the Big Ten tournament. We lost two players that were 3-year starters for our program, and to be back in this position and come out here and battle, I mean, South Carolina is just so good. Like, there's only so much you can do.
So that was some of the reaction, and here we go. Jay Will with us, and Andrea and Shanae, who've been so terrific all through all of this. And as we said this morning, guys, it's a day to go big picture. We could talk about the little picture. At the end of the day, the best team won. The big picture here of for the collegiate game, for the women's game, is that we've never seen anything quite like this season. And for all the talk we've done, and rightfully so, about Caitlin Clark, let's spend a moment here, Andrea, on what Dawn Staley has accomplished here, winning this championship, her third as a coach, and doing it with a team that was completely remade from the one that was in the Final Four a year ago. I don't know that all the fans are completely aware of that, Drea. What did this championship mean for Dawn Staley?
It is one of the most masterful coaching jobs in the history of our game, Greeny, to lose 5 starters, and not just lose 5 starters, but lose them to the WNBA draft, and also lose a 6th senior to the WNBA draft, to completely reload and to have transfers in Tahina Pau-Pau, who hit 3 threes in the national championship game, to have Tahina Pau-Pau fit in, to have 2 freshmen come in and fit in seamlessly, and then to have your returners all come back better than last season for this perfect blend, for the puzzle to fit together perfectly, to then go undefeated. It's not like, it's unlike anything we have ever seen before. A masterful coaching job by Dawn Staley.
Look, Dawn Staley is one of one. Her Hall of Fame resume, people sleep on the fact that it is hybrid as player and coach. Greeny, you mentioned it. Some people don't realize how amazing she was as a player. 6-time WNBA All-Star, 2-time Naismith Trophy winner at Virginia, 3-time Olympic gold medalist, and circle that 96 year. That was the year that birthed their success, the WNBA. And then we're going to just switch caps, switch hats to coaching and get 3 championships in 7 years, building a dynasty. It's not one Hall of Fame career. Yeah. It's 2 in different ways that I feel like makes Dawn Staley one of one.
Yeah. Jay, what are the right things? I saw your notes this morning, so I'm sort of cheating. What are the right things to say about Dawn Staley this morning? Jay Will.
Oh, well, she's one of the GOATs of the game, man. And I'll say this, you know, as much as we talked about all the things going on this year in college basketball, I do not feel like Dawn Staley and the South Carolina Gamecocks got enough of the credit. Like, you know, what we're seeing is when you think about some of the greatest to ever do it, Geno obviously having multiple undefeated seasons, Tara Vanderveer, Pat Summitt, in which Drea played for, like, she is in that upper echelon of greatness. And I think also what we've seen over the last 2 games is you've seen 2 elite coaches have a chance to game plan against one of the best players to ever do it on the collegiate level. And yes, you did see Caitlin Clark drop 30 points last night, but she dropped it on 28 shots. So that's almost 1 point per shot. And anybody who knows basketball, when you're in the weeds, if you're defensively trying to go against one of the great players like that, that is how you win those games. 1 point towards one shot is what translates to defensive success, and they had the depth to do it. So I think she's one of the best to ever do it in the game of basketball, and that's who Dawn Staley is.
So a perfect season, and off they go with the title. And on the other side, again, let the debates begin if you want to have them about Caitlin Clark's place historically in the history of the women's game. I'm not expert enough in that area, perhaps, to have an opinion that means anything to anyone. But what I can tell you, and Andrea, we talked about this briefly earlier, is that I've been covering sports for 35 years, and no one that I can think of has ever brought more attention, certainly not to women's college basketball. And I would put her in a tiny, tiny little category of people who have brought this level, who have gone this far to increase the level of attention and exposure that any sport has received. I made a comparison to Tiger Woods a little bit earlier this morning. I think that's the conversation to have this morning. Her impact on the sport was a lot more about that than it was whether she was actually a better player than Diana Taurasi. Andrea, how about that?
You know, it's incredible, Greeny, and I'm going to merge the two conversations here because we were just talking about Dawn Staley and for what she did as a player and what she did as a coach. To me, I was talking to Himbo about this morning. It's not hyperbole to say Dawn Staley's the greatest person we've seen in the game, because who matches the coaching that she's done and the play that we've seen from Dawn Staley? Those two things merged, truly special, which is why what Dawn Staley had to say about Caitlin makes it incredibly true. Like Dawn Staley validating the pressure that Caitlin had to handle, the impact that Caitlin has had on this game in growing the game, in the eyeballs that have been brought to it. For Dawn Staley to personally thank Caitlin Clark, her opponent, who she just had to defeat to win a national championship, who kicked her out of the tournament last season, that's validation. We all know it, we've all seen it. Caitlin's impact, what she had to shoulder through her career, is truly special. Like, the game has been taken to a whole new level.
And that's the operative word here, y'all. It's impact. A lot of people that might have just started following with Caitlin's rise will say, oh, she's got to be, based off of the 45 records she broke, the greatest of all time. Now, if you know the history of the game, there's some bad women out there. Maya Moore, Breonna Stewart, who won 4 natties, Candace Parker, who dunked in the tournament. Like, there's some bad women. Cheryl Miller. But the fact that her impact to me puts her on Mount Rushmore, someone who obliterated every record and just did it easy, like, you have a chance to become the all-time women's scorer, I'm going to just drop 40 on that. I have a chance to make it to the Final Four, I have a chance to get to the Natty, I'm going to drop 30 in that. She meets every moment, and I know that it will carry over to the W.
Yeah, Cheryl Miller once scored 105 points in a game and then later was upset because they didn't let her play the final 2 minutes. So she might have been able to score more than that. That's a different generation and an entirely different time. And Caitlin does it in this generation, in this moment. She was the perfect person to be in the perfect place. So, Jay, how about it? I mean, you've been around it a long time. You know all that comes with being in Final Fours and all that kind of stuff, being a collegiate star. What's the right way to sum up what Caitlin Clark, what her impact was this year?
I mean, she's one of the faces of all sports. I mean, I think that sums it up. I mean, she's had an incredible, legendary run. I think she's one of the greatest to do it. Obviously, we can talk about the championships because that's all why we play the game. But getting her team to 2 national championship appearances, there's no doubt. You know, Greeny, the most fascinating thing for me to watch is the other day, Diana Taurasi was talking to SVP and kind of like set the mark. Like, there is a mark that Caitlin Clark brings to the game. Right. And it's one of the things that the first thing Coach K told me when I came to Duke was like, OK, just know that every single day when you play here, you are going to be the target. And now Caitlin Clark has set the mark that she is a target. And now we get a chance to watch all those storylines unfold at the next level because people are going to be taking their shot at greatness. And that's what we're watching each and every time she's going to compete at the next level.
All right, so a championship was won last night. Another champion will be crowned tonight. Coming up next, we'll talk about that. What would another title mean for Dan Hurley? Jay Will is going to tell you exactly what is at stake for the coach of UConn tonight. Excuse me. Plus, oh my goodness, what's happened to the Milwaukee Bucks? Legler is here this morning. Are they likelier to make a deep playoff run or to be one and done in the postseason? You've got a lot to say. You'll hear it next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Lots of college basketball conversation this morning. Tim Legler is here. Chinee, but Chinee, I got a text from Malika. And she said, make sure Chinee is staying up on all the NBA stories, because now you got to get back to L.A. and do that. So let's run the floor and put you to the test. Let's see if you're paying attention. Legs, Tyrese Maxey, 52 in a win over San Antonio last night. Is he the co-star Joel Embiid has needed all this time?
Absolutely is, because one thing about Tyrese Maxey, I'm confident in saying, he is going to rise to the occasion when they need him to be. Most importantly, he won't change his style of play in the big spots once they get into the postseason. That is something Joel Embiid has not had at that spot, which is a critical spot. The primary ball handler, Joel Embiid, I think his body language and psyche have been affected by the failures of guys in that spot. That won't be Maxey.
Chinee, I'm trying to make the argument that the Sixers are the biggest threat to Boston in the Eastern Conference. What do you think?
Yeah, Philly is going to be a problem for all teams not named the Boston Celtics. Why? Not just Joel Embiid, who has handled coming back pretty seamlessly, but Tyrese Maxey. People slept on the fact that 32 of his 52 points last night were in the paint. Between Embiid and Maxey handling things, I am like looking at the, like, this might be a circumstance where we can see a little bit of a run, even though they have to get out of the play-in first.
The team that they would very likely face in the first round would be Milwaukee. The Bucks have lost 4 in a row. They blow a big lead at home yesterday. They lose to the Knicks. Legler, this was a team that I thought, once they got used to the coaching change, would catch fire. What the actual heck has happened to the Bucks?
Well, first, they haven't reached their peak offensively in meshing those two stars together. I just still don't think they have really found their stride playing off of each other. And that's what they were counting on, because they've lost their identity defensively. This is a team now that more often than not wants to outscore you. They want to go up and down and trade baskets. Well, when the offense isn't humming at that level, that's very difficult to do. They're a mess. They're just not an imposing team. They're mediocre on both ends of the floor.
So, Chinee, the theme of the morning for us has been, you know, big picture, little picture. Let me sort of frame the question that way. Are the Bucks in big trouble or a little trouble heading into the playoffs?
I think it's big trouble, and it's wild that somehow they've been able to remain at number 2 in the East. Like, that's the best circumstance considering relative to how a team is playing. It's not the fact that Giannis and Dame combined for 51. It's the fact that their opponent drops 43. Jalen Brunson has averaged 37 versus the Bucks, and to me, it's the perimeter issues, it's the transition defense, and it's just the lack of continuity that we see against their stars, amongst their stars. Especially, like, it feels like Chris Middleton on the floor just helps them overall, and they're not getting everything that they need at the right time.
All right, with the Lakers and the Timberwolves play last night in a game that could be a preview of a first-round playoff series. Almost impossible to really take anything from this game because LeBron didn't play and Anthony Davis got think, poked in the eyes. Something happened to his eye early in the game, and so he didn't play. What takeaway is worth taking from this matchup last night, Legs?
I think the biggest one is the way Naz Reid has played in Karl-Anthony Towns' absence. And this has been going on all year. This is one of the best backup bigs in the league. He's proving right now he could be a starter on a good team for a lot of teams in this league. And his ability to shoot the basketball and also his athleticism defensively, he has really made a statement in Towns' absence.
All right, so, Chinee, let's talk about the Lakers. With LeBron, they were red hot going into that game last night. LeBron looks like he's in a very good place heading into next week where they will almost certainly be in the play-in. With him ready and assuming Anthony Davis is okay, we saw that team make a run all the way to the conference final last year. Could they do that again?
I think it's much harder to do it again, but for some reason, there's something. Maybe it's the LA girl in me as Malika is watching this, right? She's texting you. The LA girl in me, because they play defense and because they are trending in the right direction at the right time, I still give them a chance. But it is harder considering that the West is stacked. I mean, they're going to have to go from the play-in to the playoffs where they potentially could get the number one overall seed, being maybe the Denver Nuggets, and then try to make a push to the Western Conference Finals. Now, also, what? It's LeBron James, like 39 years old, AD doing everything that you need. He's played 74 games, giving you 24 and 12. I don't know if they have the stamina that they had last year to be able to withstand an early opponent that is like a one or two seed.
What do you think, Legs?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that they could give Minnesota a run for the money if that ended up being the first round series. Shanae's right. The fact that they have really hit their stride here over the last few weeks, the timing couldn't be better. I agree. There's way more difficult landmines to navigate in the Western Conference, I think, this year than what they ran into a year ago.
Like?
So making that run.
Like
well, just, there's just more teams with top talent that could actually threaten them. Think about who they got last year in the second round. When you get Golden State, that was that undersized against the Lakers. They're not going to run into that situation. What it comes down to is this. Who do you trust more? Like, do you trust LeBron and AD in a series against Minnesota, or you trust Anthony Edwards and Gobert? I mean, with all of the playoff experience of AD and LeBron and their ability to control the game physically, Lakers are going to have a great shot in that series. The only team they have to avoid, it's similar to the East, avoid Denver, and all bets are off for a team like the Lakers.
And there's no way to know how to do that right now is the point. Minnesota and Denver right now tied at the top of the West at 54 and 24. OKC is one game back of that. So you don't know if Denver is going to wind up being 1, 2, or 3, so you have no idea what to stay away from. So, Chinee, super quickly, just so Malika knows for sure that you're still paying attention. If I told you right now someone is going to beat Denver in the West, who could do it?
Ooh, who could do it if someone's, I mean, I don't want to go with LA. I really do like the Timberwolves. I do like the Timberwolves. They were constructed to beat Denver, but they were also constructed to beat them when healthy. So if circumstances change, I've got them. So maybe I'll stick with Ant because he's been the story of the second half of the season.
Nothing wrong with that at all. My answer is
I know what you're going to say.
It's the Dallas Mavericks.
You've been on Dallas all year.
It's the Dallas Mavericks. Watch out. Luka and Kyrie have figured this thing out, and they've added some pieces. That's a team. You trust. Who do you trust the most in a series? Control and possession by possession? Look at Luka Doncic's track record in those situations.
It's going to be interesting. Okay, we got Chinee getting ready to go back to L.A. to cover all of this for us. But before we do that, we have more to say about Caitlin Clark, who dominated the college game. What can we expect from her at the next level? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what she accomplished in defeat. Much more on yesterday's championship game as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
bagged. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Back on Get Up, we are presented by ESPN Bet. As we approach the bottom of the hour, big story, of course, a year after losing to Iowa in the Final Four, South Carolina got revenge and got the crown with a win over the Hawkeyes to become the first team since UConn in 2016 to win the championship with a perfect season. It brought an end to the incredible college career of Caitlin Clark. That included getting Iowa to the Final Four twice. Their only other appearance had come in 1993. And even after winning the championship, Dawn Staley took a moment to pay tribute.
I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
And again, those are words on a championship podium coming from someone that, if you've been with us all morning long, you know is herself one of the GOATs of the game, an all-time great player, and now an all-time great coach. I mean, Drea, that's heady stuff, right? I mean, I've been covering sports a long time. I don't remember a championship-winning coach taking a moment to individually shout out a player on the other team that way, but it's just an indication of the degree of respect that Caitlin Clark seems to have earned.
Absolutely, and we got to start with saying Dawn Staley never misses a moment.
Thanks.
To show class, to show grace. She makes the most of every single opportunity, and everything she said about Caitlin Clark was spot on. Coming from Dawn Staley, who we listed her accolades as a player, we listed what she did as a player, to recognize what Caitlin has had to go through her career, and to personally thank Caitlin after just game planning against Caitlin. If anybody understands not only Caitlin's impact, but Caitlin's play on the court, Coach Staley gets it. So she gets it, and that's why she said those words. It was a beautiful moment. Well done by Dawn Staley, earned and deserved by Caitlin.
Way to tie a bow on a career. Like, I love what Coach Dawn said, and I also love this trajectory of Caitlin Clark. People don't realize her freshman season was during COVID. There were no fans. And then to end with the highest viewership, everyone watches women's sports, sellout arenas, no matter where she went, home and away, the highest value ticket ever in the history of women's basketball. I mean, her impact on the game is transcendent. And then we talk about her play. I mean, just breaking 45 casual records, Big Ten, D1, NCAA. To me, it's wild to see someone who had to carry, as Coach Dawn said, the weight of the world on her shoulders. Now, one thing I will also say is iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
I said, you know, before our broadcast yesterday, the fact that we had two championship caliber seasons at once, there's only one trophy, based off of her accolades as a player, but then also an undefeated South Carolina. If it was going to be one player that could push that to the brink, it was Caitlin Clark. And for Dawn to recognize that and also see how her career really transformed from freshman to senior, it was wild to me to experience it.
Yeah, Greeny, there's no script, but if there was, the script scripted. Like, this is how it needed to go. I mean, for these two powerhouses, what did you say? Unstoppable force meets an immovable object?
Correct.
Like, for two greats to go at it, there is nothing better than that. Like, this was a beautiful display. It was great basketball. Caitlin Clark obviously scores 40. She scores 30. South Carolina puts up 87 with no player going more than 19 points. Like, you had this elite singular force igniting her team with confidence, going against the best team we have seen in a long time. It was just a truly special moment that, like you said, Dawn Staley put a beautiful bow on.
And I thought Caitlin Clark said it well herself in a soundbite we played earlier today. And the better team won. And this team maxed out. You can't expect – it's unrealistic, I think, to say, well, she didn't beat them, so obviously she didn't do her job. She did everything she could. They did everything they could. The best team won the championship, and that is generally the way we like these things to end. And so a quick final thought on this, if I could, from you, Chinee. As she now leaves behind college basketball and this phenomenon that she has become – goes on to the next level in the WNBA. What are the expectations? What do you think happens next?
I know on a lot of these shows we talk about legacy, but the WNBA is where legends are certified, where legends are made, where you are tested against the best of the best. The WNBA is the hardest job in sports, in my opinion. I'm a WNBA player. Yeah. You get to be one of 144, and those 144 women are some, I was going to say some bad women. And so I know a lot of people say, oh, guards, it's going to be hard to translate. This is a person who has a record for most threes in a season, the most points ever in the history of the game in women's college basketball in the NCAA. She gonna be all right. She gonna be just fine, because at the end of the day, what she did, what we just watched, was her uplift her team. Now her team in the WNBA is gonna uplift her. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, Greeny. I mean, the fact that people are saying Caitlin's game might not translate, Caitlin's game translates to the league. Like, at the very least, handling the ball, setting up her teammates. I know the competition will be so much harder, but the weight she's going to have to carry is going to decrease. So as the competition goes up, her role is going to go lower, and all she has to do, play smart, compete. All we want to see from Caitlin is
hit that open shot.
Compete. Hit open shots. Find Aaliyah Boston running down the floor. Find Nelissa Smith. Hit Kelsey Mitchell, one of the greatest shooters in the league, off a pick and pop. Like, those opportunities for Caitlin to shine will be there, and she won't have to do everything for her team.
That's the point. Everyone talks about her long-range shooting. She's the best passer in transition that I've ever seen. I'm not 100% sure she doesn't do that better than anyone else in the game right now. By the way, I want to make sure everybody knows that ESPN Plus is going to debut a new original series. It's called Full Court Press. It followed the journeys of Caitlin Clark and Camila Cardoso. It will feature unparalleled access, exclusive interviews, unique game footage. Episodes 1 and 2 of those will air Saturday night, May 11th. Guys, just outstanding. I can't begin to tell you how much we, all of us at the show, have enjoyed your analysis and your commentary and your energy through all of this. So thank you for getting up every morning with us, and congratulations on everything.
Anytime for you, Greeny.
Thanks, Greeny.
All right, terrific there. In the meantime, where's Jay Will? Get Jay Will back from Phoenix. Let's do a Shoot the Jay with Jay Williams. Before we get to tonight's men's championship game, let's talk about John Calipari. He's off to Arkansas. Is that a good move as he departs Kentucky? Jay Will, what do you think?
Greeny, as we run the three-man weave, I'm going to hold the ball at the top of the court. Give me the ball. Give me an ISO. Let's stop the three-man weave for a second, okay? Yeah. I'm not going to get to my other topics because I'm really hot about this one. I think there are a certain juncture of Kentucky fans who have been spoiled by the success happening at Kentucky. John Calipari is the second all-time winningest coach at Kentucky behind Adolph Rupp. Behind Adolph Rupp. He's gotten to countless Final Fours. He's won a national championship. He leads all collegiate coaches with putting players in the NBA. And it's one of the most relevant programs. And I know that former players and fans say, well, we don't care just about being relevant. It's about winning chips. But John Calipari, damn it, is one of the best to do it in the game. And they ran him out of Lexington. They may not like to hear this. They ran the second time all-time winningest coach in Kentucky basketball history out of Kentucky. You can sit here all day and tell me about how he didn't win enough championships and for having all that talent, and I get all the different angles of attack that are going to be positioned at the targets of John Calipari. But come on, Greeny. We're having John Calipari leave Kentucky for Arkansas? A parallel move in the SEC? And he's gonna take Kentucky recruits with him to Arkansas? That's what happened? That's what we're watching? That's what we're talking about on the day of the national championship game? Calipari leaving Kentucky basketball. Who leaves Kentucky basketball for Arkansas? That's what we just watched happen. My mind is blown this morning, Greeny. I can't believe they let him leave. You don't let John Calipari leave Kentucky basketball. I'm sorry.
As a headline, it's startling. I understand what you're saying. And everything you just said is true and accurate. I think, however, a hardcore Kentucky fan might push back in two different ways. One, I don't care if we half the NBA came from our program. I don't care how many championships our alums wind up winning at the next level. It's about winning here. Two, the way he has always done it is not the way to do it anymore. I watched Jay Wright on whatever there was, CBS or TBS or True TV, whatever it was, sitting there saying, you can't play freshmen anymore. You can't bring these guys in anymore.
No, he said it, not me.
Greeny, go ahead.
Greeny, that's wrong. Yes. He just had an old team 2 years ago. He just had one of the oldest teams in college basketball 2 years ago.
And?
Like, he hasn't done it this way every single year. And it,
I understand
it came up
that.
Short. But by the way, all teams come up short. Like, I don't – Bill Self came up short this year. Are they trying to run him out of KU?
Like, he didn't do well with the national championship two years ago, Jay. What I'm saying is 2016 feels like a very long time ago at Kentucky. Kentucky is not – Even Kansas. Let's say Kentucky, Kansas, and North Carolina, those are places that are sort of special. But at Kentucky, 2016 feels like a very long time ago, differently than it would at almost any other school.
Greeny, I'm with you. Okay, so Bill Self has two. Cal has one. Tom Izzo has one. Okay, so like that's all I'm saying. Like, and if you are you going to get Scott Drew? Is Scott Drew going to leave Baylor? Because Scott Drew just re-signed at Baylor. Like you're gonna try to swing for Jay Wright? I don't think Jay Wright's leaving that position at CBS. He looks very comfortable and less stressed. You're gonna try to take Billy Donovan? You know what I hear when people say about coaches in the league? Oh, they go play golf. They have a lot. They're not dealing with the stress of I have to win it every year or I'm gonna be called a bum. I'm not right. All I'm saying is just be careful what you're asking for now. That's all. You can reevaluate. Say we're gonna bring in somebody else. It's going to be hard to find somebody else that's going to fill those shoes. That's all I'm saying.
I actually agree with you. I see the devil's advocate side of it, but I'm actually on your side on this. But let's finish the conversation with this question. Who could they get? You give me the name, whether it's someone under contract, doesn't matter if it's realistic or not. Who could they get that could come in there and outdo what Calipari has done? Who can make them what the Kentucky fans, what Big Blue Nation wants them to be? Who?
I don't think you can get anybody that can outdo what Cal has done.
No?
I mean, you're talking about there. In order to outdo what Cal has done, Dan Hurley, if he wins back-to-back, I mean, because that will outdo what – that's what I'm saying. You're talking about this level of success at the top to outdo what Cal's been able to do.
You're talking about
the second all-time winningest coach at Kentucky basketball history behind Adolph Rupp. I have the Adolph Rupp Award at my house. Like, so if Dan Hurley would leave UConn, but why would you leave UConn when that ship is rolling at a high level and you're able to do it your way? I think Nate Oates would be a good opportunity for him, but that's a lot of weight for anybody coming into that program. Somebody's going to take it, Greeny, but that ain't easy, man. That's not an easy ask.
I actually agree with you, and I'm glad you made that point. It was worth the time we spent on it. Quickly, we've got UConn and Purdue, the two best teams in the country with the two bigs and everything else tonight for the championship. Who wins and why?
I got UConn winning. I think their guard play is going to lock up the guards on Purdue. I think Zach Edey's going to do his thing, but they'll take that. And I think by tomorrow morning, Greeny, we will be talking about Dan Hurley being the face of college basketball. When we had Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Jim Calhoun, we've had, Jim Boeheim, all these coaches retire. I know we still have Bill Self. We still have some other great coaches in the game. But I think for the way everything's happening right now with NIL, and look what Dan Hurley's saying, we have to win this for our donors. Mm-hmm. That sounds like new age college basketball. It's like saying we're going to win it for Mark Cuban, like Dirk Nowitzki, right? We have to win it for our donors. We will be talking about Dan Hurley being the face of college basketball next year.
He has said a lot of things that I've liked over the last week or so. We have more time to get into all of that. Jay, you're the man. Awesome. Stay right there. In the meantime, we'll continue in a moment. Did you see what the Sixers did yesterday? Dive into some NBA conversation. They've got the one guy who is ready to take them to the top, and I'll tell you who it is. It's not who you expect. But first, we got Sneaky Hembo. He is back, and he's got legs in his sights today. Here we go. Since Wilt Chamberlain, who is the only player with 10 50-point games in a single season?
Mm.
The answer is next.
Mm-hmm. Going for four straight. Going for four straight.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. All right, here's the moment. So Hembo and Legler. Legler's got a 3-game winning streak going.
I went Reggie Jackson on him. 3 straight trips.
We have Tyrese Maxey had a 50-point night last night, 52 to be exact. Since Wilt Chamberlain, who's the only player in the league, not any team, with 10 50-point games in a single season.
Right, the key is obviously you go since Wilt. And right off the bat, this triggers, okay, it's got to be somebody with a super high single-season scoring average. I kind of know who's in that group. The 3 names that came to mind for me were Rick Barry, because he shot so much. I thought he had a shot. Kobe and MJ. I think it's one of those 3 guys, and I am going to go with the late, great Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God, that's right. Oh, that's boom. Correct. It is, and they were all high on the list. Rick Barry had 6. You just threw away the piece of paper, so I don't know anymore.
Oh, Michael
Jordan was up there. You know who else was up there? Was James Harden.
Harden was up there.
He came close.
I'm not thinking of him, but yeah.
But it is Kobe Bryant in the 06-07. So that is 4 straight.
4 in a row.
Counting.
I don't know he's going to. He might start ducking me, start intentionally walking me. I have a feeling. I'm not getting plate appearances.
Makes me very happy because he's really a very bad human being. And so it is delightful for me to see him going through this kind of misery.
He owned me for a while.
Well done. Okay. Let's do my 5 big questions of the week. Okay. So we're going to do the green list. We got the 5 big questions for this, the last week of the NBA regular season. In case you haven't been paying attention, the season ends on Sunday. Question number 5 is who winds up 5 in the East? The Knicks, the Magic, and the Cavs are all separated, I believe, by 1 game.
Yeah.
So the question is, who winds up without home court advantage?
I think it's probably Cleveland. I think they're a team, their schedule's a little bit more difficult. Donovan Mitchell right now not fully healthy. So I'd expect Cleveland to have to go on the road in the first round.
And so if it's Cleveland at the Knicks, for example, in round 1, a 5-4 matchup. Would you like the Knicks in that?
I think I would like the Knicks in that. Those teams are so closely bunched together that I probably would favor the team that has home court advantage when you start talking about that group of teams. And then the Jalen Brunson factor. I just think Jalen Brunson making the plays, controlling the game under pressure, I think I would like the Knicks.
Magical season he has had. Another huge night last night as the Knicks came from behind to beat Milwaukee. Question number 4 is one that we can't answer, but I think it is the most important one in the West. Who avoids Denver in the first round of the playoffs? And there's really no way to know because right now the Nuggets could easily finish 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, whoever's smart avoids the Nuggets. That's my best answer.
But how do you do it?
Look, there's a number of teams out there that I think we are going to put into the debate about who's capable of making a run at the Nuggets to be the last team standing against them. The only way to do it is avoid them in the first round. The problem is, since you don't know, you just got to play out the string. Win games, keep momentum, and let the chips fall where they may.
People, I think Cheney brought up the Clippers earlier. There was a moment during the course of the season when we thought they looked awfully dangerous. Could they give Denver a run, let's say, in a second round series?
There's no doubt. It's the Kawhi Leonard factor, but they absolutely have hit a tailspin here over the last month, and they're not viewed the same way. There's something missing with that team right now. I don't know if it's just the grind of the regular season and they'll find that adrenaline when they get into the playoffs, but they're clearly a very dangerous team out West. I think the Dallas Mavericks are a very, very dangerous team out West. And I think the Pelicans actually could be a team that you would not want to play early. But look, to me, the measuring stick is Denver. They're still the number one team in the Western Conference.
And the team you did not mention in that is the Lakers. Now, the way I wrote this question, full disclosure, yesterday before they played last night, was can the Lakers play their way out of the play-in and make it to 6 in the West? They had won 9 out of 10. Then last night, LeBron didn't play. Anthony Davis got banged in the eye a little bit, and they lose a game to Minnesota. So let's move out of can they play out of play their way into six and into can they make themselves a real threat in the playoffs as they did a year ago?
I think they could be a threat, again, if they avoid Denver. And look, there's no way to determine that. I think getting out of the play-in is going to be difficult. They're two games back in the loss column to two different teams.
Yeah, the loss last night hurt them
with just a few games left. I just don't see that happening. So the best-case scenario for them, get out of that play-in and then avoid Denver, hopefully, in the first round. And then, listen, you've got LeBron James, you've got Anthony Davis, and you've got a team that's played their best basketball over the last month of the season, so the timing is right for them.
All right, so then, wait a minute.
Hey!
Something is about to happen, and I don't know what it is. Stephen A. Smith is staring at me with an angry look on his face. Stephen A., have I done something?
What do you mean? I saw you hour number one because we have to watch Greeny. You
The
ultimate host.
Yeah. Yes.
What do you mean you had to convince me and Wilbon about Maxi being the second best
player? Oh, he called you out.
What was that about?
He called you out.
On NBA Countdown,
yes.
One of you, I forget who it was, said, well, James Harden is the second best player on the Sixers, and I said, no, he's not. Tyrese Maxi is the second best player, and I got yelled at.
We said he was brought there to be the second best player. Nobody that saw James Harden playing in Philadelphia reached the conclusion that he was the second best player when we saw how he was playing in Philadelphia.
Well, so the perfect time for you to be here, actually, because the last question of this was going to be one I'd love you to answer.
Sure.
Does Joel finally have the right running mate to give him the playoff run that he's never had? He's never made it out of the second round.
Yes.
Can he and Maxi do it?
Yes, he does. If he's healthy, to ask Maxi to carry the load while Embiid is hobbled is a problem. You can say that. They don't need anything other than supplementary parts if Embiid is rolling. If he's not rolling, then to put it on Maxi's shoulders, that's a lot.
But quickly, make the point to him that you made about the body language and everything else.
I just think that the guys that have been in that spot in the past next to Embiid have affected his psyche, his body language, because he saw Ben Simmons. He saw James Harden not show up in big spots, and I think Joel Embiid let that affect him. Maxi's different. He gives him confidence.
The biggest mistake the Philadelphia 76ers ever made was letting Jimmy Butler walk out the door. Because Jimmy Butler and him were like this. And Jimmy Butler was that rough rider that would have pushed Ben Simmons out for you. He would have either toughened Ben Simmons up or he'd have pushed Ben Simmons out of there. And Embiid knew he had that dog. And as a result, he would have been fine. Because he doesn't have somebody like that, Maxie's got the talent, but the dog in him personality-wise that's going to help, you know, hold people accountable around Joel Embiid so he doesn't have to be that guy is the problem.
Stephen A. is 5 minutes and 20 seconds away from starting First Take with Shannon and Jay Will. They will react to John Calipari leaving Kentucky. They've got Chiney and Andrea explaining what a third title means for Dawn Staley. All that and more. I will never call out Stephen A. on the air again. We'll be right back. Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. And in
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Part by Eclipse Across America, live on National Geographic today at 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Are you looking forward to watching the eclipse, Tim?
I am. I'll be right out there with everybody else. Put those crazy glasses on and look up.
If it's going to get really dark, I just hope it doesn't happen while I'm putting. That's the only concern.
That might actually help me.
That would be a problem. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
Come on.